On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We've got the programs underway this week, but through Mr. Rob Center, a fabulous producer. Nobody gets on the radio but through him, so we really appreciate all of his help and hard work. We have two botanists on board at this segment, and we're going to be joined by another one on the second segment of Sunrise this morning. But we'll start out with Dr. Chris Martine is back. Of course, you and I know him as, that's the Plants Are Cool Too guy. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Mark. Good to see you.
I didn't have to look it up. I do recall that our last conversation had something to do with Mr. Potato Head.
That's true.
Prior to Thanksgiving. We talked about that particular plant and how important it was at Thanksgiving. He is the David Burpee Professor of Plant Genetics and Research at Bucknell University. He's a biology associate and professor and the department chair at, or the associate, department chair.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta smush all these together the right way at Bucknell University. But perhaps more importantly, he's literally been around the world to make sure that rare and obscure plants are studied and found. He's worked interactively at times with the Lewisburg High School, and he has made sure that the botanists that are going through the biology department at Bucknell University get a real exposure and also see the possibilities. If there's some fool out there in the botany department that thinks everything that has been discovered has been, you're here to say, oh my gosh, no, there's a surprise around every corner.
This is true. Yeah, the world's full of things that we really haven't quite described yet. You know, it's out there, right? But, you know, if we can get out to the cool places and know what we're looking for, there's plenty of things to find.
And if you rappel off the Shikellamy Bluffs, which would not be a phrase most people know to us, the Shikellamy Bluffs, but that's the sheer rock and soil area below the Shikellamy State Lookout, you will find rare plants there.
Yeah, there's actually a handful of different rare species there. And a couple of years ago, while making a video in our Plants Are Cool 2 series, we stumbled across one that no one even knew was in the state of Pennsylvania at the time.
All right. And that made headlines really statewide and even globally among botanists that this had been found there and was thriving.
Yeah, it did, right? This was a species that called the white alum root that was only known from West Virginia and Virginia, really limited range, was already considered globally imperiled. And we literally bumped into it while climbing up and down those cliffs at Shikellamy Bluffs.
All right, and if somebody out there, some skeptic, is saying, okay, so what? So we have a rare plant around here. You have gone around the world discovering and making sure that and identifying that all plants are known and studied and monitored. Why is this important?
Yeah, it's pretty important. I mean, plants are sort of, you know, the baseline element of lots of really interesting habitats and places, right? So if we can figure out where the rarest plants are still hanging on, it's usually a pretty good indicator that those are also really special habitats, and the plants then support all sorts of other critters, which is one of the things that we found to be the case this summer.
All right, and with our built-out community still building out, and with climate change, anything rare is, you almost have to say, at the same time that it's threatened, and even anything in abundance. I mean, we have nuisance plants and what's the word I'm looking for?
Invasive species.
Invasive species, right, taken over.
We do, and we're seeing with this rare plant, this white alum root, that a lot of the sites that where we see it now, one of its biggest threats is invasive species, things creeping onto these cliffs where you think most things wouldn't be able to grow, but they get there.
Well, can the Chinese knotweed climb?
Yeah, we've seen Japanese knotweed. It doesn't climb very well, but there's some sites where it's beginning to creep up some of these steep slopes where this plant is, and so yeah, it's one of many.
Well, I'm going to say that's terrible news, because you have a biodiversity along the Susquehanna River, but the knotweed is taking over, especially close to the river.
Right.
But if it climbs also, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, kind of is. Yeah, it's a damaging plant to native ecosystems. But there's a lot of other species that are kind of worse threats on those rock faces.
Oh, okay. And pollinators, what do pollinators think when an invasive species takes over?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of these pollinators, as we'll talk about today, are can be specialists. You know, they only visit certain types of plants, and when those special plants disappear, so do the insects that pollinate them, right? And so something like Japanese knotweed is mostly serviced by a handful of bees, including exotic honeybees, but, both of those things are going to replace truly native species and, you know.
All right. Well, all of that starts to underscore why it is so critically important, the work that you're doing, and why the students who are coming through the biology department at Bucknell University continue to do their work and to learn more and to explore more and study more and discover more. Anna East Barnes is on the line with us now. She's a senior at Bucknell University in the biology department. Anna East, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I would like you, you came from Philadelphia, I think the Frankfurt section, if I read correctly. So tell us how your interest in botany and plants got nurtured and got started, and who put you up to this kind of thing.
Yeah, so actually I wasn't really interested in plants before I came to Bucknell. My main interest stems from forensic science and like forensic biology specifically. But when I transferred over here to Bucknell, I was asking my advisor, academic advisor, how I could get into research. And he was thinking about my interest, and he pointed me towards Dr. Martin. And so me and Dr. Martin had a conversation, and he told me about this project, and I hopped on.
All right. Well, yeah, and I think what could happen is you have some real rock stars at Bucknell University, and the biology department is one place where they're at. So if you're looking for folks who are really out there and making global news on a regular basis, it sounds like you hooked up with just the right person. All right. Explain what you have done this summer, this research and this work that you've done with other students and with Dr. Martin.
Yeah. So our research this summer included going to different areas that were provided by Dr. Martin, sites where we believed that Heuchera alba would be found. So when we went to those sites, if we saw Heuchera there, we would take samples. So that includes taking leaves from 10 different individual plants, storing them, and then also taking one specimen, so one plant that's at that site, we take it and take it back to dry it, so we have it on record.
Please continue.
And in addition to collecting the plants, we would see if the bees were there, and we would also collect those with nets and putting them in the vial filled with ethanol.
Okay, so let's move forward then to Botany 2021, I think was last week. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your presentation there and the words that you had to deliver there.
At Botany, it was not exactly what I expected. I was a bit nervous to present my project there with Maddie, but when we actually presented, it was pretty fun, and we had a lot of support. But we talked a lot about what we're doing this summer and our hopes for the future, and we mainly talked about what we plan for the future and our research project as well.
Yeah, it's a big deal that Anais presented there along with Maddie Wickers, because there were over 1,900 botanists from all over the world at this conference, and they rolled in and presented some of what they had found this summer. And this species, Anais mentioned it as Heuchera alba. That's this white alum root that we initially found on Chicoutimi Bluffs. They went out this summer and just tracked all these different habitats, and this summer they found 20 different populations of this globally rare species. And what's crazy is that at a lot of those sites, they also found a bee called the alum root cellophane bee that up until 2 years ago had not been seen in Pennsylvania for over 100 years. And they found it all over the place this summer. So sort of like if you build it, they will come kind of deal, right? If this plant is on the cliff, often this rare bee is with it.
Well, I hope you didn't find the bee the hard way, as they say. Get stung or something along that line.
Anybody get stung on Ace?
No, we were very careful.
So you enjoyed some recognition too from the Botany 21 conference. Tell us about that.
We were in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and that was such a great experience. Tom Averill, the author of that article, came to Bucknell. He was very interested in our project. He came and wanted to see what we were doing, and so we took him out into the field with us. And him and Alejandro, he was the photographer, we're taking pictures of Maddie and I and Dr. Martine and Tanisha Williams of us doing our thing in the field. So.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And that came, Mark, I think, as you're alluding to, right on the heels of Anais winning a couple of awards that were announced last week as well. So she wrote a proposal for the Undergrad Student Research Award through the Botanical Society of America that was accepted and awarded at this meeting. And she was also a plants grant winner, which meant that the BSA covered her whole registration for this national conference last week. So Anais is kind of a big deal.
Well, thank you, Anais, for the work that you're doing. We have here in our studio what we call the Who Cares test. So for all the work that you are doing, this passes the Who Cares test because this is all going to be critical information that you're gathering this summer and important information. You explain why that is a true statement, that this all matters.
I think this work is important because we need to know exactly where this species is and what's growing around it. What's growing around it and whether the populations are genetically healthy. This helps in understanding whether the species is needs to be preserved, and this is like what we're looking forward to in the future to see if how to conserve these species if needed. I think this is like important going forward because of people who are scientists who will be looking at this in the future. They need to know exactly where this plant is in order to know how to study it, what to study it. And so I think what we're doing here is important for future works as well.
Yeah, well said. Anything to elaborate on that? That was a great answer.
Yeah, I mean, right. Anais is right, right? We have to understand the status of this rare plant in Pennsylvania in order to know how to best protect it. And as they have found, Anais and Maddie, it's not just about the plant, but about this really cool rare bee.
Maddie Wickers, another student of biology at Bucknell. Anais, we'll give you the last word. Anything to add, an additional comment, anything on which you'd like to elaborate?
Just about research in general. I found that, like, working out in the field and learning things in the field has been extremely rewarding for me personally, like, my mind and my soul. And I just thought that, you know, if it's possible at all for anyone to, like, go outside and just experience what's around them, nature and the world around them, that they should. I really recommend it. It's really been something that I've been, like, discovering this summer, so...
Well, fabulous answer. Thank you so much for all you're doing, and thank you for your studies. And, boy, good luck. And I know we're going to hear that name, Dr. Anais Barnes, in the years ahead, and it's going to be a game changer, as it already is. Thank you so much, Anais, for checking in today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That is Anais Barnes, biology student at Bucknell University. She is a senior year this year. Dr. Chris Martine is in our studio. We'll be back at 7:40 and be joined by Dr. Tanisha Williams again. We met her during hashtag Black Botanist Week a year ago, so we'll get an update on that, and we'll find out more about botany and research. And Black Botany Week is being observed this year, so we'll find out more about those to conversations. As well. When we return here on WKOK.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. We're going to launch right back to our interview today. We are learning all about the botany research that's taking place around here. In our first segment, we met and talked to Anais Barnes, a biology student at Bucknell University. She is studying the rare plants that are around here that have been discovered locally and certainly aren't abundant here, but are occurring here, in particularly plants that aren't abundant globally. So we do have not only plants, but some bees that popped up around here that they have discovered. And for that, we're grateful for that work, the work of Anais Barnes and Maddie Wickers. And Dr. Chris Martine is back. Plants Are Cool Too made him famous, but he was already the David Burpee Professor in Plant Genetics and Research at Bucknell University. He's the Associate Department Chair at Bucknell University in the Biology Department. So you're back in studio. Thank you for
joining
us. And we are going to be joined joined on the news line now with Dr. Tanisha Williams, who is the Burpee Postdoctoral Fellow in Botany in the Biology Department at Bucknell University. And we've talked to her about the global growth, not of plant research, but of hashtag Black Botanist Week a year ago. So, Dr. Williams, thank you so much for calling back.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I really do appreciate it. We've had some good updates with you. Let's start with Dr. Martine again. As I've asked the students, but I'll ask you, this idea of why is it so critically important that we study and monitor rare plants and probably all plants as our planet gets more built out and warmer, I would have to think all of this just becomes more critically important.
Sure does. Yeah, I think you'll hear from Dr. Williams and myself if you ask that same question. Plants kind of rule the world, man. They, you know, help us breathe. They set up all the ecosystems on the planet. They're everywhere and critically important, and their diversity is important for not just the planet's health, but for us as human beings.
And as somebody who enjoys the Susquehanna River, I think of Japanese knotweed as being irritating. Makes it hard to go to shore at a lot of places, but you see it as a significant dilemma that's going to have to be dealt with or something, I guess.
I do. If you travel along the Susquehanna River, and if you've been here long enough, you realize what it's replaced, right? It's a one species dominated understory at a lot of the forests along the river, and those used to be dozens or even hundreds of different species that are now gone in a lot of places.
Dr. Williams, your view on this idea of why the work that you're doing, and Anais and Chris and Maddie, why this really adds up to important information in the years ahead?
Yes, it's important. Echo Dr. Martine and Anna East, our work is really important because what we're doing is we're documenting biodiversity, so all of the plants, and we're characterizing that biodiversity from the past and currently. So in the future, we have these records, and then a scientist like myself or in the future can actually see these changes. That's how we're tracking climate change, because scientists have documented plant populations for many, many years, and we can see these changes through time and in response to temperature and precipitation and things like that. So it's really, really important. And also, like Dr. Martine said, we use plants to breathe, we use plants to eat, we use plants for medicine. So they're very, very important.
When you and I last spoke, we talked about your work trying to at least observe and maybe catalog the impact of our climate change. Mm-hmm. What do you know today that maybe you didn't know when we last spoke?
Well, I just published a paper that's a great question on this very topic. It's in South Africa. I published a paper using herbarium records, which are dried plant specimens that we have. It's almost like a museum catalog of plants that we have, and looking at how those plants are changing their flowering in response to temperature changes throughout South Africa. So I found that there's about a 3 degrees increase in mean annual temperatures across South Africa. And in response to that, the plants that I'm studying, pelargoniums, which are sister genus to geraniums that we have here in the United States, are responding by flowering about 2 weeks earlier. So it's really fascinating that we were able to see that, because past scientists were cataloging these plants and putting them in herbarium.
I always hear what you're saying with a tiny bit of dread, and I'm certainly I'm concerned for our future, but somebody out there is probably saying, oh, okay, well, great. Hey, we have a new bee around here because we have these rare plants, or 2 weeks earlier, that's fabulous. I love flowers, or I don't like it when it's cold. So please give us a rehash of why it's important that we study the warming planet and why it's not necessarily ideal.
Yes, because we're actually changing the landscape of the planet at such a rapid rate. So it's not a good thing at all. I'm thinking about my pelargonium flowers. So they're flowering about 2 weeks earlier. What's happening to those pollinators? As we heard Anna East talk about the pollinators for Heuchera, what about the pollinators for, which are flies and birds? What happens to their population? So are they actually emerging 2 weeks earlier in order to pollinate these flowers, or to get food from these flowers? I don't know that question, but if they're not, it's going to be really detrimental to the plants that I study and them keeping their populations healthy.
Well, and the assurance I draw from this is that this is being studied, monitored, noted, and documented. So at least as we try to move toward the future, we'll have a great foundation and a great baseline from which to work. I also spoke to you a year ago about hashtag Black Botanist Week. You founded that. This year, there's lots of talk about it. When I looked it up this year, I found lots of hits and lots of tweets and even a hashtag Black Botanist Week website. So since we last spoke, bring us up to date about that conversation as well.
Yes. So Black Botanist Week 2021, the second annual, is actually happening right now. So we started on yesterday, Monday, and we're going from Monday to Saturday, and we have events like Global Botany. Today is Houseplant Hour and Indoor Botany, so we want to see all your houseplants. Photos. We have a biodiversity is power. We're going to be talking to some Black botanists about what they do at work. So we have a conservation manager from South Africa. He works for Kirstenbosch Botanic Garden. We have some U.S. Fish and Wildlife scientists. And then we're talking about food crops around the world. We're going to have a really, really good week. Please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and visit our website at blackbotanistweek.weebly.com.
And are we making some progress? When you and I spoke a year ago, you really opened up a world where Black individuals and botanists and just fabulous gardeners or whoever it had been had already made footholds and had been helping in the classroom and had been moving things forward with relatively little publicity, but you kind of opened up everybody's eyes. How is that still going on, this uncovering and this sort of rewriting history to make sure that we're a little bit more inclusive in our history?
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Yes, this campaign and the many campaigns, there are so many. There are hundreds of campaigns of Black in STEM and Black in Art and Black in Science Education, Black Birders Week. So Black botanists really did open up the space for Black botanists and BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color to be highlighted for their work. We're doing the work. We're doing fabulous work. And to highlight us and to invite us to educational talks and things like that. So I'm definitely personally seeing an uptick in that, where before I started this campaign, I was only invited to a couple things, but now I'm being invited to many more things to give scientific talks and to talk about my research, but then also my experience with Black Botanist Week.
Well, yeah, in the past year, your name popped up all over, really around the world. And so congratulations for that, for bringing this making it sure it's brought up and that people are familiar with this. Mm-hmm. Chris, you get a great feeling about the work that you do, the video work, but when you found out that really there was a whole segment of our human population that had to be brought up and talked about when it came to plants and science, you found that really just truly energizing.
For sure, right? And I think that, you know, one of the things that this campaign has done for me and lots of folks like me, right, is opened my eyes as well, right? Made me aware that there's a lot of people out there doing great work that deserve more attention, right? And if we want to truly have our science be representative of the human population on the planet, there's voices out there to amplify, right? And I feel like that's the best thing I can do is just be aware, learn as much as I can, get educated, right? And then amplify voices like Tanisha's.
What's the takeaway as we, I'll give you the last word here today, the takeaway as we move through 2021, not only because of concerns about our climate and our planet and our plants and the study that we're doing, but again, our human diversity is being brought up.
Yeah, I think it's really important to mention, right? Right, that science is for everyone, right? That for us to really, truly deal with the challenges we're facing, right, on this planet, and it means that we need to embrace the strengths of our whole human population, of all people that do science and that care about science, and sure, that's the case for botany, but all across the board in sciences, right? So all the voices really are important and do matter.
Well, we have one of the catalysts on the line that we're going to say goodbye to. Dr. Tanisha, sort of the same question. So what's the takeaway as we launched into the second half of 2021 with just all of this biological information and all this human information in mind?
Yes, thank you so much. I think one of the biggest takeaways is I'm going to really highlight what Dr. Martine said was making sure we're highlighting these voices that are often covered up or not listened to. And I really want to highlight indigenous voices as well. They have been the stewards of this earth since before any of us were here. And we want to make sure that we're listening to their voices and listening to the knowledge that they have. They have phenomenal knowledge being out in nature, working with the land that we don't have because we're in buildings, we're on computers and things like that. So we want to make sure we're opening up this space to look like the diversity of the human population, but also listening to those voices that have really managed this planet for us.
We have an open mic anytime to talk about these important developments in all of the fields we discuss. Thank you so much, Dr. Williams. Thank you for your time, and we know we'll talk again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and I'm just going to say happy Black Botanist Week.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for that. I do appreciate that. Yeah, we wish that for everyone. Thank you so much. Dr. Tanisha Williams, Berkeley Postdoctoral Fellow in Botany and Biology Department. Dr. Chris, thank you so much for all you're doing and bringing this to our studio. Half the great interviews we've done in the past couple of years have been suggested by you, not the least of which was the Mr. Potato Head. Right before Thanksgiving, you suggested we talk about the importance of potatoes, and sure enough, it was a great conversation, and it was a real keeper. Thank you. Thanks for all you're doing.
Sure. Thanks for having me and for having Anais and Tanisha on today. Appreciate it.
Dr. Chris Martine, David Berkeley Professor in Plant Genetics and Research at Bucknell University, and the author and the main pusher of Plants Are Cool Too, the great YouTube video series, of which there's 13 episodes in the can already.